Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
I thought Trubisky was dead.
Yeah. Snap back to Trubisky. Four-man rush. Everything picked up. Throw now it starts to close. He's hit, and down he goes. Brought down on the play by Trey Flowers.
To answer the question, I have no idea how that doesn't get called for helmet.
And how does he not have a concussion from that?
Also, I don't know.
Steady incremental progress.
Do you know where you are?
No.
What are you trying to do? Thanksgiving and the Lions.
What are you trying to do? Steady incremental progress?
We just got to continue to get better, eliminate mistakes, keep growing, keep coming closer together.
He's fine.
Seems pretty normal.
Yep.
I don't know, it checks out.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Just a couple of moments, we're going to talk with Mark Gonzalez of the Tribune, a late ad to the show, to discuss some baseball stuff at about 9:40. Then Kevin Fishbane will discuss the Bears. They're still alive. Keep hope alive. Hope stayed alive last night. It is still extant, the beating heart of playoff hope.
More alive than Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, right?
More alive than Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, there it was right there for you. Although, as annoying a game to watch because of the number of guys wearing yellow, and you end up always thinking there's a flag
because somebody's
got the yellow shoe. You're like, is that flag? No, it's just damn shoe. Or it's weird color game, weird aesthetic game for me, but I'm sensitive to that stuff. But anyway, hope remains alive for the Bears because the Vikings lost.
Indeed.
And they can keep losing, and that will open the window to
almost a 4% chance for
it?
The Bears
to
make it. Almost a 4% chance.
It was 2 yesterday.
Yeah, it was. The 538 odds, it vacillates. When you click, it doesn't even know what to do with it. It freaks out. It freezes a computer.
But we're on the climb where the arrow's pointed up for Bears playoff chances until they get waxed by the Cowboys in 3 days. 2 days. Midday Midway at 10:40. Sage Rosenfels will break down Bears quarterbacking and offensive issues and things at 11. Paul Charchian will get you set for the fantasy playoffs at 11:20, and surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767. That's the number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text or a sext? Feel free. 67011. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
My Christmas list this year is just one thing for the Bears. I want a DK Metcalf. Can I just say that now? We'll get
DK
to DK
Metcalf.
No,
DKF Metcalf.
I don't want
you.
That guy. I want DK Metcalf. I want one.
I'm not that big a fan.
Why?
Because he's athletically weird.
Okay.
He's big and strong and fast.
I would rather teach those skills to that guy than other wide receivers.
I want one of those. That is one of those cases where I totally get it when scouts say he is just an X receiver, that he's athletically stiff. He looks weird in and out of his breaks.
Okay, fine. You saw him run a couple of those big body slants across the middle 6 yards right there.
And by the way,
big mitts for Russell Wilson.
That's a fumble.
Yeah, it is. Oh, that's a catch and a fumble.
It's a catch and
absolutely
a fumble.
Absolutely a catch and a fumble. It's a nonsense reversal. That's a catch and a fumble.
Yep.
Absolutely, 100%.
Thank you. I want
a DK Metcalf.
Okay, I want a decaf Metcalf because that was the fact that
we'll send an intern out
but
for that.
Because it's Tessitore and he just goes so hard.
Always.
Decaf Metcalf.
Guy's redlined from kickoff.
Right.
That guy should try a decaf Metcalf.
Decaf Metcalf.
Decaf Metcalf.
You got to make a switch there, Joe. God, I love football. All right, Joe. All right, God.
Just so strong. I love it. Oh, that's outstanding. Where were we? You download the radio.com app to stream the score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. We've got Julio Roseo, we've got Mike Chen, and we've got Adam Studzinski. Wait, we got the full second line is in there,
right? It really is. Yeah, it's gritty. It's grindy. It's going into the tough areas for the puck.
It's the checking line. Yep. That's exactly what they're doing. You put them out there against the opposing scorers. It's like,
or to close the fourth quarter if you're the Chicago Bulls. Or to close the fourth quarter with a lead. Okay.
Don't, please not today. Don't get me started with some of that stuff. Now, today we're doing something special, and it is Giving Tuesday. And we are I say we because, as you know, that Camp One Step by Children's Oncology Services has been a really important part of my life for like a decade and a half. And longtime listeners of the station know how important that particular charity is to me. And having now served on the board for close to a decade, and I'm now proud to say that I'm also the vice chairman of the organization. This is a really big opportunity for us today on Giving Tuesday to help kids with cancer and leukemia. And it really is that simple that there's no extended speech about research or medicine or anything like that. This is just about making kids happy and knowing what the diagnosis of cancer does to a family. It's not just the kid, it's the whole family. And how it stands lives it throws lives completely into chaos for everybody involved. And one thing that we can do is make for happy kids through Camp One Step. And it's all we do. Our mission statement is that we empower kids who have cancer, encouraging them to take on the world. And we try to improve the quality of life of kids who've been diagnosed with 11 free programs throughout the year. And we serve kids with summer camp and winter camp and specialty camps also that serve parents and siblings through family camp, brain tumor family camp, sibling camp. It costs $1,000 to send a kid to camp for a week. And it's just that. It's just camp. It's just take off the prosthetics and take off the hat and the scarf and go chase frogs and jump in the mud and be happy and be with counselors who have been campers. And be with other campers because every kid feels incredibly lonely and incredibly scared. And one thing that we do is just make sure for that week, that 2 weeks, and sometimes it's the start of the rest of their lives, to help them understand that they're not alone and that we're all here for them. So today, thank Ellen Marks Cancer Foundation. Every gift that we receive up to the first $25,000, that's 25 kids, will be matched dollar for dollar to get us to 50 kids. We want to send 50 kids with cancer to camp at Camp One Step. So right now what you can do here on Giving Tuesday, we have a special designated way of doing this. Text 670 Hearts Camp to 76278. That's 670 Hearts Camp to 76278, or go to 670heartscamp.org. That's all you got to do. Any number. Whether or not it's just a couple of bucks, maybe instead of getting an extra cup of coffee, instead of stopping for a couple of tacos, give that couple of bucks because whatever you give is going to be doubled by the Ellen Marks Cancer Foundation up to $25,000. So throughout the day, we're going to do that, and we're going to try to make as many kids with cancer as happy as we can make them. Some people want me to give out the text information again who just missed it.
Including me. Yeah, you're
not. Yeah, text 670 Hearts Camp, spelled out, 670 Hearts Camp to 76278. 76278, text 670 Hearts Camp, spelled out.
We're going to tweet it out as well, Bernstein_MCK. On Twitter, it has been tweeted, you should donate. It's an awesome opportunity on Giving Tuesday to get your donation matched, too.
Big deal that Addison Russell is an ex-Cub. It really
is.
It's a big. This was the starting shortstop and a World Series champion. This was someone who was believed to be a foundational piece of an era for a team.
This guy had the same upside as Javi Baez.
Correct. And this is someone who was comped to Barry Larkin.
Yes.
As a possibility because of how skilled he was, MVP possible skill set. And now he's an ex-Cub. He's gone. And here's the truth. This decision was made a long time ago.
That makes a lot of sense. there are a lot of baseball reasons for them to have non-tendered Addison Russell before last season started. And if you just deal with the baseball reasons, it becomes pretty clear. And the stuff that Theo Epstein said in his in the release that he gave out with the through the Cubs, that given the role we expected Addison Russell to play, it was too expensive for us to tender him a contract coming in about $5 million, something like that. So it lets you know that, listen, their own internal evaluation of Addison Russell's ability on the baseball field had severely diminished. That it had really evaporated, to be truthful. And the fact that that happened to what could have been a cost-controlled, top-tier shortstop in the National League of all places is quite frankly, a big part of the reason that there is so much turmoil around these last two off-seasons, just baseball-wise, for the Cubs. That's to say nothing of the personal issues of the domestic abuse allegations that surrounded Addison Russell for quite some time and have now kind of revealed him to be an athlete garnering scrutiny in a very modern sense because of how we consume our athletes, because of how we see them, how they react to us, just kind of the normal fan, the everyday fan. You see everything. Or at least you can in an athlete now. And a lot of fans reacted pretty stridently to what happened between Addison and his now ex-wife. And I think that was heard. I think that was very clearly heard by the organization.
I also think ultimately, the fact that his presence, the fact that his issues resulted in the Cubs taking the steps that they did to educate everyone in their organization about domestic abuse, to make everybody more aware that ultimately, forget baseball for a second, that the Cubs should be recognized for perhaps if one woman, if one spouse, if one girlfriend is helped rescued, if it's a life that somehow is made better by all of this, by whatever happened. Yeah, you won the World Series, whatever, they traded Jeff Samardzija and whatever they got. But the actual material consequence of this could be somebody's healthier life, somebody's safety. You could take what could be construed as a huge negative from just a baseball or business perspective. And if you want to argue, look, you got your World Series win and flags fly forever.
Yeah.
And forget that, whatever. And he hit the home runs. You know, he was terrific and made the play. And if you want to be cold and just look at it that way, that's okay. I'll feel free and say, hey man, you won the World Series. I don't care about any of the rest of it. Sucks for you if you don't or can or don't have the bandwidth to handle that at multiple levels. But if you want to forget the baseball level and just say what they literally spent and what they did with all of their time and resources to understand this phenomenon better is going to make somebody's life better, then you turn a negative into a positive.
Yeah, hopefully that's the case. You know, he's not the only player on that World Series team to have elicited that reaction from a whole bunch of fans, from people who observe baseball. Aroldis Chapman also had a domestic violence suspension in Major League Baseball. He's a big part of that 2016 team as well. For where the 2020 team is headed, Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune is going to give us a ring. We're going to talk to him about how the Cubs reshape the roster going forward now that Addison Russell has officially been non-tendered.
And this segment is brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Is your family ready for cold and flu season? Knowing when it's the flu lets you know when to call your doctor. The flu brings a fever, so be prepared with a thermometer you can trust. The Exergen Temporal Scanner, backed by more than 70 clinical studies. Once again, I hear on Giving Tuesday, if you want to help kids with cancer, be happy. Send them to camp. It costs $1,000 to send a kid to camp for a week. 670heartscamp.org, spelled out. Or you can text 670heartscamp. to 76278, and we can match the first $25,000 that we get. Mark Gonzalez coming up next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
As we think about what we're going to do, not only here, you know, have conversations here, but for the whole winter, I mean, there's a big picture element to it, and where, you know, I think that we're not going to be entirely married to, you know, this position or that position, but, you know, making moves that make sense both, you know, long term and short term.
A move was made yesterday by the Cubs with the decision to non-tender Addison Russell. He is an ex-Cub. Here to talk about that and more is Mark Gonzalez from the Chicago Tribune. He is on Twitter at MD Gonzalez. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Gonzo, This is something that a decision was made a while ago that just kind of became official yesterday, was it not?
Yeah, I think you phrased it right. We all knew what was coming down the road, especially with how his season did not crystallize the way he or the team would have wanted. And then you look at what transpired in the previous season. It was pretty obvious this is the direction they were going to go in.
Let's just play the hypothetical, because you guys have said it both, and I think you're right that this decision was made a while ago. Addison Russell had played better. Would they have looked to move him in the season? You know, is that an asset they actually could have capitalized on in a baseball sense?
Possibly, but I mean, you look at now, and the market's so flooded with middle infielders, especially second baseman. I think he would have had a really gone off the charts hitting wise. And keep in mind, you know, Zobrist was gone; second base was a real issue for him. So he might have been too valuable to move at that point.
At the moment, second base is an issue for a team that is at least purportedly still in its contend for a championship window here. Nico Hoerner probably projects as a second baseman. We know David Bodie can play second base. I don't know if the Cubs can really declare themselves as serious about this if they trot out either one at the position. Is this something where you got to go get a Whit Merrifield or make a move to get somebody more representative of a contender there?
I'm of that belief right now. I do think they have to do it for two reasons. One is get somebody more established, a guy who can really help you there and address some of the issues. You know, we all know about their lack of contact issues and putting the ball in play and maybe being a little more athletic. And then on the flip side, Nico Hoerner did a terrific job in the 3 months he was up, but excuse me, the 3 weeks he was up, but that's a small sample size. You know, and I think David Bodie might play better next year, but As an everyday guy, he's still got to do it. And he's been pretty valuable off the bench, although he struck out quite a bit. Contact was an issue. But I just think that they're better served going out and getting a guy who's more established and can address the needs.
How much of their offseason plans are on hold until we find out about Chris Bryant's free agent eligibility?
I still think they're trying to move some pieces. I hate to use the word pieces. Move some players and address some needs, getting guys back. But yeah, I think that the third base market is kind of one that's unique. You know, you read yesterday where Anthony Rendon's a big target of the Rangers. If he were to go there sooner rather than later, which I kind of doubt because of his representation, then maybe the dominoes start to fall. But I still think that the Cubs are really aggressive trying to address needs. And then when the third base situation is resolved, at least Bryant's arbitration hearing is resolved, then they'll move accordingly.
What do you know about the dynamics of the coaching staff as it's currently constructed and under construction? Now that they have a new first base coach, a new bench coach, a new manager, a new bullpen coach, everything is different. Is it going to operate similarly? Is it going to operate in standard fashion? Or do we just have to wait it out to see how it's all going to work?
Youth and technology. I think those are the two things. You look at that staff, I think Mike Borzello might be the oldest guy there. I don't even think he's 50 yet. And all the other members of the staff are much younger. And then you add on that, all these guys, a lot of these guys have technology-driven backgrounds instead of playing experience, and I think that's another factor. So you're going to have a staff that's it's going to be united in the sense that they're all on board with the numbers, crunching the numbers. You'll probably see more shifts. We didn't see many shifts during the Joe Maddon era, and a lot of that was due to Joe thinking that the pitcher always had the option to make the call. And you had veterans like Lackey and Arrieta who frowned on shifts quite a bit. But with this group, I think you're going to see more shifts, more of the stuff that you see with a lot of the data-driven teams such as the Dodgers and Astros.
What do we know about the arbitration, about this process, this grievance process between Bryant and the Cubs? I know that other players, you know, you always get told don't go to your arbitration hearing because you're not going to like what the team has to say about you. Is there a typical process that was followed here? I wonder if, you know, a bad mood could have been started between one side or the other, given what they've got to talk about in that sit down.
Are you talking about the hearing in New York or the regular arbitration process?
I guess mostly the New York one, but I suppose Gonzaga, I mean, you tell me, I would suppose both would probably play into that kind of feelings issue between the two sides.
Yeah, I think the players are well coached by their agents when they go to a regular arbitration process. And in the case of Bryant in New York, it's pretty much over service time, whether they thought he was ready and not sent down because he needed to work on things, as opposed to the case that they wanted to curb his service time so he would have another year of control with the Cubs. That's kind of a different thing, and I think both sides understand where that's coming from. But it's a big case because it affects a lot of guys. It affects the future of baseball, really, and especially with the CBA expiring in 2 years. But in the case of a regular arbitration hearing that, you know, they have in February when guys go to hearings, the players are usually coached up by the agent saying, listen, you're going to hear a lot of negative stuff about you. It's all, you know, numbers. They'll manipulate the numbers, but the agents will do the same on the behalf of their client.
Nicholas Castellanos was disproportionately important to the Cubs' run scoring last year. It was really crazy looking at how alone he was as a productive hitter for a long period of time. It also seems really unlikely that he returns to the Cubs. What do they do to replace what he meant when he shouldn't have meant as much as he did?
And that's a great question, because I've gone back and forth in terms of, okay, what do you do? Can you get a center fielder who can set the table frequently enough at the top of the order where you put the guys below him in a comfortable position and you don't miss Nick as much because these guys are better with a table setter? Or is Nick so valuable that you can kind of downplay that need for a leadoff guy. I just still feel that too many outs were given away at the top of the order. But on the other hand, you got to address the defense as well. And I look back to that Cardinals series and balls that just barely eluded Almora that turned into, you know, big plays. And then not just Albert, but there were some plays in left field as well. I know later on they had Nick playing deeper and toward the gap. He got to some balls, but let's face it, he's not a true outfielder in that sense. He came up as an infielder. So there's a lot of moving parts, and I just think that the production at the top of the order is too glaring to ignore.
You know, so much of that is about developing your own players. When it comes to the Cubs, you've obviously seen a couple of first-round draft picks kind of fall short, I guess, or just kind of plateau. And circling back to Addison Russell here, from a baseball standpoint, do you feel like the Cubs think they failed to develop him, or that he just never quite bought in enough, that he was never quite clicked in enough? We certainly saw gaffes on the field and in base running and just kind of a plate approach that would check out at times.
Yeah, I think in some cases that 2016 season kind of hurt him, and yours truly included, thinking he had a chance to become another Barry Larkin-type guy. I didn't think MVP-type, but certainly a guy who could be a really deluxe run producer at shortstop, and it just didn't crystallize, and maybe there was too much taken for granted that he was on his way, and there was too much trust involved, because of the last 3 years he was just overmatched, and you saw a lot of feeble contact, sort of like what Hayward went through a few years ago. It just seemed not right for a lot of reasons, and I think there was the combination there, and he's not the only one who has struggled in terms of not ascending in his development.
Gonzo, before we let you go, what do you think of the timetable now? Now that we're heading to the winter meetings, they've made some of these decisions. I don't know that they're going to spend a ton of money, but when do they get moving on some of this stuff to try to maybe beat the market?
I think they're trying hard. You know, they don't wait quite a bit on certain things. In the case of bottom feeding, I can still see them doing that. But I think there's so many glaring needs that they need to address right away. I think the pitching department is one, but also addressing a contact hitter.
Gonzo, appreciate it. Great checking in with you. We'll talk again soon.
Take care, guys.
That is Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. We're going to talk some football with Kevin Fishbane in just a bit. A reminder here on Giving Tuesday, we are trying to get to a match of $25,000 that's being provided by the Ellen Marks Cancer Foundation. We're going to try to send 50 kids with cancer to Camp One Step in Lake Geneva. As part of the Children's Oncology Services, our flagship program is our summer camp, and that's what we want to do. And we are doing this today on Giving Tuesday. You can go to 670heartscamp.org. That's spelled out, 670heartscamp.org. Or you can just text 670heartscamp to 76278 if you want to make a donation between now and noon.
All those links are tweeted, Bernstein_MCK. We tweeted them out individually as well. You can find them there. If you can't remember it, just click the link and donate. Help send a kid to camp. Kevin Fishbane's going to talk some Bears with us when we come back. Bernstein McKnight on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.